Yes, I'd like to talk a little bit about the conscious state of man. It's not really the conscious aware state all the time, except for the fact that the heart brings us into that conscious state. If your heart at your sternum is not functioning, you're not meditating on your inner man or your physical heart, your conscious state drifts. And when it drifts, you have to build into yourself the system and coping skills around yourself not to drift too far from your task. Now, that's what the Apostle Paul was teaching about to the Greeks and Romans when he said, even you bear the fruit of conscience and follow the law. Even though you do not know it, you still follow it. But that is not the true state of the human being. That is the true state of infantilism. So if you're to come out of infantilism, you have to study law, practice for yourself, and place it upon yourself. You can't study it for somebody else. What does that mean, study it for somebody else? You're missing the tones there. When you study for yourself, you're applying the law to yourself as if you were giving yourself a slap in the face. But when you're teaching it to somebody else, you assume already that they know the law. But if you apply the word I can't or I can into the law, then you start to see where their issues are involved with in their mindset when they're a part of your own culture or community. Now, there's the own culture, which all crosses all borders these days because everyone studies culture, but there's some people who keep totally to culture. So there is a division. There are different levels of law abiders that have different thought life for their laws that they understand. Now, the young, uneducated culture member might just have three aspects to two aspects from his leader that he knows to follow. That is why we elect people to schooling. And when we go to school, we begin to learn to shape the laws and we apply them all to ourselves. So what applied to John F. Kennedy also applied to you. What does that mean? That means I can't just talk the way I want to people in authority unless I am an authority. Even though John F. Kennedy spoke of his death to the church to carry out, there is similarities there that come from the book of James to Timothy to study to show thyself approved. Means I can't just talk to them like they talk to each other. And a lot of times in the films, they talk like that to each other in the films and show you how they talk. But you can't talk to them exactly like that. You got to take it two notches down for them to talk to them. Now, there's a special position that's higher than all those positions, that's over those lower positions, that talks like that to them. And that office is the presidency. Now, the presidency comes from the people. The presidency usually doesn't fight in wars. He usually takes a lesser role in them. He may give a command in a war. He may do a dare for his friends and his family when he's young that results in a bigger dares as you go along. And you may think of the president as a superhero. And superheroes are not trying to do damages when they're doing their feats. They're trying to subdue what is called nature. And nature is subdued there. See how I'm talking about the human nature there when I said that? That means that the human nature has to be subdued. And usually the president of the United States is the only one who can subdue his own nature in the greatest capacities. You see what I'm saying? And they view each other that way too. As they're growing up, all the presidents that run for the office view each other that way. That their humanities are under suppression of their own device, not under devices that are like a drill sergeant in the army. That means the president is for the people. And then the army is for the president, who is the biggest people, who owns the most character, to instruct those men in the military that are learning something that is more apt than the president could do. But the president adds in the grace and mercy, because he could not do those things. He may not want them to do all those things all the time. So that teaches us an excellent adventure. It teaches us what self-control, moderation, all those elements that are in the fruits of the spirit and everything, it comes down from the president to the people. It doesn't go down to the army. The army are people who know how to be themselves in a way under people who are closer to the president than they are. That doesn't mean that they're better than the president, or the president's better than them, says many people, that they're not as good as the president. It's not true. They outperform the president in many ways. But the president is a special position that holds the character. Now, when you hold the character, then you can release the secret weapon. And how does that happen? You hit the cardboard against your hand when you're writing. You write something. You say, I need to improve my character. You take the cardboard and you slap it on your hand. Slap that cardboard on your hand. Set the cardboard down. Try to write again. You'll get deeper character. And that's why we teach the people of the United States of this America that we might have character. And then after that, there's some people who want the Fruit Loops. And I'm talking to us U.S. soldiers. The soldiers want the Fruit Loops. They want the milk and Fruit Loops their whole life. So they have to... Most people who are poor and developed character in the United States are not in the military because they chose to rather have a poor life and eat different types of homemade meals for dinner. But the military wanted Fruit Loops every day for breakfast, so they joined the military and got an extra paycheck. So that describes all that. Now that we've described all that, we start to say, well, what is my area of character? How do we find that out? We've taken so many spiritual tests, so many spiritual surveys, so many gifting tests. How do I know any of those things? Well, there's two verses in the New Testament that will show you what you have if you study them. If you study the verses between Romans 1 to Romans 4, and then you study in the part where the Pharisees repented and cast out a demon and accepted Jesus. If you study those two places in the Bible, you will accept the character of what it means to receive the Holy Spirit's gifts. Then you can understand the pages on which they ask you those questions on the internet. When you take a spiritual gifts test, you will know then how to answer those questions correctly. So read Romans 1 through 4, and I think it's chapter 13 or 19. Where the Pharisees wrestle with a demon and they can't get it to go away. And then they use the name of Jesus and it flees. The demon flees and the person stays and is healed. And they say, I believe in Jesus now. That is the true way of faith in the Bible and the New Testament and the Old Testament. People do not just wake up and believe in God. They do not wake up and just believe in the Bible. They see what's there and they say, what is this? That is not faith to answer you have believed because of what is this. You must begin to think and pray. And when you think and pray, you can't do that on your own. You need those four chapters, and then the one about the Pharisees in the book of Romans by the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul. He will guide you into the truth, and those four verses or so that you'll read there about the conscience, mind, and the Pharisees. And when you get those two, three scenes in your head, then you can understand what those questions mean in church when they ask you, do you like to give money? Do you like to heal people? Do you like to do this? Do you like to do that? Are you a direct person? How do you know if you're direct, according to the questions they're asking, if you are still in your former state? What if you're in a new state, you see, but you're not conformed to those things that the Bible says is the new state? Then you're not listening to those purposes that they're asking you those questions about on your internet spiritual lessons and spiritual gifts questionnaires in churches. So if you study the book of Romans thoroughly, you'll learn to discover every one of those gifts. But you can't study Corinthians to understand them. Paul wrote Romans. Romans were spiritual people, so he wrote about the gifts of the Spirit, and they were like, what are you talking about? And then he wrote Romans, and they rioted. They rioted over an understanding that they could know. That was written down. That's how powerful reading and writing was back then. Today, reading and writing is more of a hobby. It's not a thing that spreads on pieces of paper that transforms everyone's life in the world. No, only Rav Shaw transformed the whole world. He did it for a man called Jesus Christ. Now, if you understand who Rav Shaw is, he was a very eccentric man who was zealous about something he didn't know completely about. After being very zealous about something he knew everything about, is the view of Rav Shaw. But if you take into consideration some of his writings, you start to see that he still valued that he knew everything in the beginning and was zealous over thought everything he knew. But then he discovered that new thing was also the old thing. And when you study that, you'll start to understand pieces of the Bible that the old man I was did understand those things. I just didn't understand it in a couple places that hadn't been revealed to me yet. And I'll tell you this, I'm not a very spiritually gifted person. I'm not. I learned to read by myself when I was a 3-year-old. I put the books on my head and I would go to the sofa and I'd sit there and I'd hold the book up above my face and I'd say, what is this? 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 And the revelation in the world is that the writings tend to be similar in notations, that they follow a script. We don't have writings except in some organizations that are not depicting what is written in the Bible. Most writings in the whole wide world depict what is written in the Bible. So believe this day and read some scriptures that are going to transform, not you. Your actions will probably stay the same because the actions of people are literally very good in the world. The actions of people, not the thought to action, but the regular actions are very good. So we lose the thought life that I got to study these verses this man's telling me about on his cast box. The 4 chapters in Romans and the Pharisees rebuking the demon and believing in Jesus. Now, if you understand that, that's the context of the gifts. So once you see that, but you got to remember that every part of things is not demonology. And you get that from John chapter 3 when you see the full voice of God, when Jesus is the demon
and Jehu is Jesus. And then you capture the whole spirit of the Holy Spirit. That's the gift spirit of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, when Jesus is the demon and Jesus is Jehu, in two different verses in that section of Luke chapter 3. Then you comprise yourself into all power. And when you learn all power, you can cook your toast correctly. You can cook your biscuits correctly. Then those things that you start to say were philosophy, that everything is untrue, is the way to philosophy and trusting. That becomes minuscule. And when it becomes minuscule, you can obtain something that is far greater in skill than you were in the first place, and that's the Mosaic blessing. Once you dip into all those chapters I've mentioned before, and you pray those chapters, you dip into the Mosaic blessing. And when you're in the Mosaic blessing, you can carve, you can paint, you can read, you can write, you can do all these things with the Spirit of God. And I added in that cardboard flap because there were people who wrote after Moses and Paul, and they used to use a little cardboard and they would piece of paper and they would spank their knee with it until they got the character they wanted to write, and then they would write from the Holy Spirit and judge whether they had or not. So if you get that good, I'm telling you, your health is going to improve far beyond satisfied and unsatisfied. It's going to go into the very nature of Moses. And when you get to Moses, just remember, when you study those plagues in Egypt, Moses performed the plagues in Egypt. Now, is it stress at that point? No, that's where stress lets go. In Moses invades. You see, it's not where stress comes in. It's where stress lets go and Moses invades. You let Moses touch you then, and you quit worrying if you're a child of God or not. You let Moses touch you, and you get that power from on high that you need to use your gifts in your crafts, in your job, with your paper, in your pencil. Then you understand how to go that extra effort isn't a lollygag into relaxation to finish my job. You stress all the way through your job. And then when you see that last thing, it's no longer the lollygag that makes you do it. Then it's the stress. And once you get that stress there, and you stress into the last thing you have to do, your character then goes into every bit of your job rather than your process. So if you want process, lollygag at that last step and finish the process. But if you want character into every aspect of your life, stress into that last factor. Because then once you stress into that last factor and you complete that last factor, is when Satan Beelzebub rises into heaven on your behalf, and he begins to accuse you before the throne of God. He throws God back from his throne, and he begins to call you what you think your friends think about you. They begin to cause arguments, this Satan, and he begins to make you think your friends have turned against you. And it's in that aspect that there is a tribe. There is a people who live as Satan as their God. And then you ask yourself, why should I believe in that? Why can't I just believe in doubting all things and have faith that people are all okay? Because that is not the reality. The reality is that we stress and we gain from Moses skill if we lollygag and be under Satan's accusations, saying everyone is okay all day, then all we do is produce mental mush. Some people produce mental mush on purpose to create the spirit of Moses within society. So some must choose to stress to the end and hear those accusations of the devil. Now, am I saying the righteous hear? Yes, the righteous hear those accusations of themselves, of themselves, of themselves. But then there's those of the devil who really know Jesus and good that you're talking about, that you keep wanting to believe everybody's good, but really they are of a special nature. And you do not want their nature to mix with your nature, because then the products are not brought to perfection correctly. You must pray. And when you pray, pray in Jesus' name, because He asked you to do it. That is the Mosaic blessing of the Christian. Now, what starts this blessing, you might say? Is it all those chapters? Is it all this? No, Apostle Paul said it started in your very nature before you even knew Him. It starts with the head of your home, which is your grandfather. Now, your dad had a grandfather that was head over him. So, you are not accepting your dad's grandfather, but by your dad. And you only accept your grandfather by yourself, because he lived while you were alive. And if he's not alive while you live, then he's in a grave and his body still speaks to you. So, after that blessing is passed out, then all things come together, and health and prosperity becomes a different issue of spending less money, making less money, doing more things with less money. And when you accomplish that, you have accomplished the salvific. Now, once the salvific is comprised in you, then you tend to reach for Christ and say, well, I must attain Christ, they say, the mind of Christ. Well, in that instance, there is a place that is mentioned where those things were said of Jesus, that no man attaineth Jesus. No man can be as powerful as Jesus. And Paul said, I extend his sufferings. So that's how we become mind of Christ. That stress into the last thing, and then we attain it, because we stressed and suffered for the sufferings of Christ to be extended to us, is not that we become as Jesus a sacrifice. No, that is the martyrdom. My martyrdom is something different than extending the sufferings of Christ. Christ was a man on earth. He had sufferings in him that he would only speak and choose to do certain things a certain people. So then there are philosophers that add to that give us slight practices from themselves that we take on. That is how we extend sufferings of Christ. We take on slight bits of other philosophers that say, you know, it's like this, because Jesus did not define it, but they had heard from Jesus and they wrote something down. So that's how you extend the sufferings of Christ. Now let me talk a little bit about how Paul went out and he cut off all these mockeries of Christians. Now what does that mean, that the Christian would be mocked? Does that mean I pray a certain way? No, that does not mean you pray a certain way that you would mock someone. We pray in the name of Jesus, means we are praying for His sufferings, means we pray the philosophies that we study about Jesus. Now,
if you get into mockery and you're slipping into a place called blasphemy, when you become the idea to yourself that you're a blasphemer and you'll overcome all things because you'll bear the burdens of other people, then you have a real issue there in psychology called overrated trust theory. And people who are more correct than you, you'll look down to. And people who are less correct than you, you'll look up to. Now, it says consider others better than yourself. Doesn't mean you look up to people who are lesser than you. It means you consider them better than you. It means they deserve more than you. It doesn't mean you attach your theology, your spirituality, your physical state to them. That's where your idea of your dog in your room, and you think of its stomach and its intestines, but you're really only thinking of your own intestines in your own head, or a picture of a dog. The dog's not actually hearing your spirit or your voice, but people who mock God think people hear their spirit when they're around. And it's called lunacy. And it hurts the church more than anything in the world to have people with the Jezebel spirit that thinks they can mock God or mock other Christians and keep that word on their heart of mockery, that they would protect themselves spiritually, is called Satanism. Satanism has taken over many ministers in America. Satanism helps the skin to shine. And I'll tell you this, if you allow a satanic minister to hold on to books trying to figure them out spiritually rather than just reading them and understanding them metaphysically, then you've invented someone who thinks of themselves higher than the other people because they mock them and then try to say they think of them better, which they do none of the sort. But then you have put them down, they say. Well, I say put them down. Slip your Bible into their pews, all your Bibles, just put them into your pews and walk right out of that church. And don't let Satan be magnified. Now, there's people who believe in their psychosis that Satan is always attacking them. Yes, they do believe that, and then they've adopted Satanism. It's because their minds won't stay off of pieces of paper. Now, there's pastors that don't write down anything at all after they've been through seminary. They don't write down a single thing except an outline for a sermon. Those men speak from the Holy Spirit. They preach loud. They preach very much in a succession type of preaching. But what are they teaching in succession? Are they teaching the whole church in succession? Is the thing. So you might have something confused in one of the pastor's heads that's affecting you. So how do I deal with that? You read those chapters I said. You read those chapters in Romans. You read that chapter in Luke 3. Then once you've read all those, you go back through this tape and you get everything you can out of it. And you adopt the idea that there's no thing such as I can't, but I can think that, so that means I'm a liar.